Scripture this morning will come from Romans 6, verse 17. Romans 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance.
I've appreciated Tim's class on Revelation on Sunday mornings. I realized this morning that I may think a lot too much about football when he started talking about the four horsemen and I started thinking about the Notre Dame linemen. So do not take that as the interpretation that he was giving this morning. We're glad to see everyone this morning. I get energized when I come to church and I see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love to see you and I care about you. And it's good to be with people that are trying to help one another get to the right place. If you would, turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I think I've heard some disturbing things in our culture lately that bother me. There's this concept that we must obey and not question. And I've seen that within the church at times. People say, well, we must obey but not question. If we go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and following, it says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God gave us a brain. Now, some of us have bigger brains than others, and I will admit that at times it takes me a little while to follow what's going on, but he still gave me a brain. He gave me a brain so that I could look at the scriptures, so that I could understand his will and what it means in my life. He gave me a brain so that I could choose who I was going to follow, whether it's my own passions and desires, or whether I'm going to follow those good things that he's laid out for us. So obedience is not a matter of blind obedience. It's obedience with open eyes. You know, when I was raising our children with Kara, there were times when I just wanted them to obey me. I think I've told some of you before that one of my biggest fears was that they would run out in the street and I would tell them, stop, and they wouldn't. I wanted to make sure that they stopped, that they didn't get hit by a car. It was important to me that they knew what the danger was. But then there were times when, you know, parents get tired and they get lazy. And they tell their kid to do something, and the kid goes, but why? And you just say, because I told you so. That doesn't really satisfy them a whole lot. I'm going to tell you that a child will obey more if they understand what your reasoning is than if you just tell them, because I told you so. I will also say this, that if Jesus tells us so, yeah, we can go look at it later on, but you ought to just go do it. But you will obey him more if you understand why he loves you, why he wants you to do the things that he asks you to do. You'll understand his ways more if you use your brain. You know, in Christianity, we talk a lot about the heart and that the heart needs to be the right thing. It does. Our hearts need to have that emotion. Our hearts need to have that passion. But our hearts need to be ruled by our minds. Because sometimes we get up and we don't have a lot of passion. You know, on Monday mornings, a lot of us remember getting up, and some of us still do, getting up to go to work. And it was like, But our minds told us, even though our hearts weren't into it, that if I want to eat next week, I better go to work and earn some money. Sometimes our mind is the thing, our brain is the thing that we need to listen to, because it's educated, because it tells us the good things that are out there. And so when we understand God's will more, it helps us to put our heart in our brain together to do the will of the Lord. So what does it mean to obey from the heart? Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Talking about Jesus. The concept of deity having to learn to obey eludes me quite a bit. And I've had to do some thinking about this idea. Jesus was in the ivory palaces. I love that song, Out of the Ivory Palaces. I bet we sing it better than I do. He was in the ivory palaces. He was in a place of perfection. He was with God. And the plan according to God was to have him come to this earth. Have you looked around this place lately? There's a lot of discord. Even in a great place like America, there's discord. Half the people want to do this, half the people want to do that. There's wars, there's famines, there's disease, there's anger. There's the wealthy versus the rich. There's weeds in my garden. You look around, and even though this place that is supposed to be one of the most blessed places on earth, there are still angry people. God sent His Son to this place. A place that was ruled by the Romans. A place that had religious leaders teaching the children of God the wrong motivations, the wrong law. A place that didn't have all the comforts of home. I don't know about you, but the last couple of weeks I've said a prayer of thanks for the guy who invented air conditioning. You know, he sent him to this place. He sent him to a place that's cursed. And so Jesus arrives here on earth. He's got a mission to do. And he's got to do it in this place that stinks. He's got to do it in a place that doesn't have all the comforts of heaven. And on top of that, he has to suffer. Jesus never said anything to anyone that wasn't true. Jesus proclaimed love and peace and joy. Jesus showed a light for men to follow. And yet, he had to suffer and die on a cross. He had to bear persecutions. He had to go through the turmoils of this life. So when we understand more that he had to learn obedience, we understand that he went through this life that wasn't so peachy and demonstrated that obedience was possible. So why do we obey from the heart? Romans 6:17, as was read in our hearing, But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Those brethren became obedient from the heart. Their minds, their hearts worked together to follow the Scriptures, to do the things that God wanted. Paul just stated an important principle in verse 16. You make a choice about the pattern that you yield yourself to. Are you going to yield yourself to sin unto death or obedience unto salvation? The world looks at the Bible as a book that tells them what they can't do. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. I don't have freedom because I can't do this and I can't do that. That's not what the book is about. The book is to tell us, hey, I'm God and I see the traffic and you don't. And if you don't obey and you make the wrong choice, you're going to run out into traffic and get smacked. And it isn't going to feel good. It's a warning to us about what's coming. It's a warning to us about how we will be overcome on this earth and the things that go on here if we don't fill ourselves up with His love, if we don't abide in His Word. He's giving us the tools. He's giving us the knowledge. He's giving us the wisdom to understand how we can overcome this life and how we can go and live eternally. That's why God wants us to obey from the heart. When we understand the things that He's put forth, we know that they're for our good. You know, I came to learn later in life that it was a good thing to eat my vegetables. When I was a kid, I didn't want to eat my vegetables. Bleh. Broccoli. Ugh. I learned to eat broccoli with a little cheese. That probably wasn't a good, probably more cheese than broccoli. But later in life, you learn that those veggies have a good thing going on. They make you feel better. So now I go to Chipotle. Anyway, we understand better what our parents were telling us. As a new Christian, I didn't understand a lot of things about the Scriptures. But I knew one thing, that Jesus Christ loved me, He gave His life for me, and that if I obeyed Him, He would take care of me, both in this life and the life to come. I understood that He wanted good things for me. So one of the most important things that we need to do when we're talking to others about Christ is to help them understand God's motive and intent. To help them understand why we live the life that we live. One of the biggest things that we can do to help ourselves to heaven is to understand God's intent and the things that motivated Him to do what He did. John 3:16, as has been mentioned this morning, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. That's God's intent. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Titus 3:4 says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus put to bed this idea that if I do enough good acts, they'll outweigh all the bad. Can you imagine the tortured life that we'd live wondering if we're on the right side of the balance scales? God loved us so much that He tells us to obey. But he also tells us that our salvation is dependent upon his blood and whether we're in it or not. Yes, we do good things, but not because we're trying to earn our way into heaven, but because we're trying to do things out of motivation for the love that he showed us. You know, I'll go down to the fair and work the church booth because I love the Lord. Not because I want to look good before you people. I love y'all. But I got better things to do with a Saturday. But because I love the Lord, okay. But more because he loved me, I'll go down and do that. Because God loved me. Because Jesus loved me. Because he loves you. That's why we go do things. That's why we perform our acts of service. I will do more acts of service if I love the Lord more. That's a mathematical equation. You guys can go figure that one out later. Paul was thankful that they obeyed from the heart. Again, as was mentioned this morning, in Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. He didn't want them to experience that. Jesus proclaimed in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does my will, does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.'" It's not our deeds. It's whether we've obeyed him. It's whether our heart is towards him. God is all in on us. When it comes to dealing with mankind, it's from the heart. God has a heart too. And he wants to see us obeying him because we love him. And God has demonstrated his love multiple times. John 3:16, he gave his only begotten son. If that's not love, I don't know what is. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than a person will lay down his life for his friends. Jesus not only gave his life for his friends, he gave his life for his enemies so that they could become his friends. Philippians 2, 5 through 11, specifically verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death," death on a cross. Did Jesus have to humble himself? He did it out of love for us and love for his Father. God left us a great legacy through his Son, and one that we can come full circle to when we see him on the day of judgment. God wants us to obey him, but is it mindless? People obey him because of the love he showed. Let's go over to the book of John, chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice." You know, we have a little critter at our house named Buckeye. Buckeye's the very self-willed, four-legged Boston Terrier. He's been fun to have around. And sometimes we'll tell Buckeye to do something, and he'll stand there and look at you like, "What?" And it'll take him a few minutes, and he'll finally decide, "Okay, I'll do that." But if you came to my house and you told him to do that, he'd just walk off. Because he doesn't know your voice. I'm not a sheep farmer, so my dog is the closest thing I can come to this, okay? You know, Buckeye thinks about things. And he thinks about what we tell him. And we've trained him to the best of our limited ability. But he does things because he hears our voice. For me to come up here and tell you today that you need to obey the Lord is important. But what's more important is for you to hear the voice of the Lord. When you hear the voice and you know the voice, you're more apt to do what the voice says. All the times we get together and listen to preaching on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Bible studies on Wednesday nights, all the times that we get together for special studies, all the time that we spend on our own understanding the Lord's Word, helps us to know the voice of our Savior. It helps us to become stronger and to build that bond, that relationship, that fellowship with God. And it helps us to understand why He tells us things. And when you're facing your biggest temptation, and you know that your Lord and Savior has a voice that says, don't do that. Do this instead. It helps us to overcome the world. This morning, I want you to use your mind and your heart to understand that Jesus loves you. And He doesn't tell you these things arbitrarily. And I want you to obey because you love Him. Because you know that He did good things for you. And that He has great things promised. And that He will fulfill those promises. This morning, if we can help you in any way to become a Christian, to hear that voice more closely, we would love to baptize you into Christ. If you've walked away because you're not hearing the voice, if you're not recognizing who God is in your life anymore, we want to pray with you and encourage you and strengthen you. Please come while we stand and sing.